The past 4 years haven't been kind to C. Michael Armstrong, former CEO of AT&T, as he announces his retirement today after 40 years as a top corporate executive. Mr. Armstrong is defending himself from those who accuse him of destroying one of America's top companies. Armstrong presided over the breakup of AT&T after his bold strategy of selling television, internet, and local phone service together failed. Rebecca Blumenstein wrote about Armstrong in today's Wall Street Journal, and she joins us from New York City. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Michael Armstrong, who is currently chairman of Comcast, the big cable company, defends himself by saying, if I understand this, that if everyone else in the telecom industry, from WorldCom to Quest, had not been cheating, then his strategy for AT&T might have worked. Can you just explain that argument for us?
Sure. A lot of the reason that he had to break up the company had to do with the fact that Wall Street didn't support AT&T, that its revenues were falling very quickly, that the telecom industry seemed to be falling apart, and prices were just falling too quickly for Mike Armstrong to keep AT&T together. This was all happening while WorldCom was cheating and engaged in the largest accounting fraud in history. So had that not all occurred, he reasons that he would have been able to keep the company together and keep going.
Well, some high-profile observers suggest that Mr. Armstrong was not just a victim of circumstance, but that he made some mistakes of his own. What do they cite in that sense?
They say that he overpaid for the cable companies that he bought, that he ignored some of the problems that were happening in his core business. But the ironic thing is that he was basically right in his strategy. Today, cable companies are racing to offer phone service, internet service, bundles of all these services together, as are the phone companies. He moved very quickly and very fast, and ultimately the market just went out too quickly from underneath him.
Armstrong evidently says that he lost a lot of sleep in the year 2000 when AT&T's stock price was falling as he tried to decide whether to break up the company. Why did he choose that course?
He chose it because of the cable companies that he bought had left AT&T with $65 billion of debt, and prices in long distance were falling so quickly that he needed to pay down the debt. He also needed to fund the cable business and AT&T's wireless business. And with AT&T's stock price falling so rapidly, he didn't have enough money to do it all. And there was reasoning at the time that by breaking up AT&T, there would be more value created by three different companies. And indeed, shareholders, ironically, did better with this breakup than the rest of the long-distance industry combined. So he was kind of right in a lot of respects.
He seems to be very personally invested in this campaign now to repair his reputation. What's he doing, and are people on Wall Street likely to be impressed by it?
I think that as he leaves, he just didn't want to go quietly. I think he feels, and he has some valid points, that things may have turned out differently, and it's really not all his fault, that he was competing against what turns out to be the largest fraud in accounting history, in U.S. corporate history. And I think he just didn't want to really go away without making that point. I think most on Wall Street recognize that, but they also say that, that's the price of business. And sometimes when you make a giant bet, it doesn't work out exactly as you would have wanted.
On the other hand, there's one thing in your Wall Street Journal story that's very hard to argue with. It's the graph from Thomson Datastream showing the closing price of AT&T stock from 1997 through to 2004. And around the year 2000, it looks like the edge of the Colorado Rockies, where it turns to flatlands all of a sudden. It's an awful drop.
It is a bad drop, but you have to understand that the long-distance industry itself was imploding, and AT&T at some point in 2000 decided to tell the rest of the world that before everybody else. So it lost a lot of stock market value, and Mike Armstrong would say that they were more honest with investors. They didn't resort to accounting fraud and a lot of the tricks that other companies did. And in the end, three companies came out of it that are still alive and are not bankrupt today like a lot of other companies were. So, it's an interesting argument as this man who has been on top of American industry for a very long time makes as he's kind of struggling with his own legacy.
Well, thanks for talking with us today.
You're most welcome.
Rebecca Blumenstein is a reporter for The Wall Street Journal.